Who the fuck is that guy?
What? Hear what I say. We are the business today. Fuck shit is finished today. What? RT&J. We the new PB&J. We drop the classic today.
Yo. Hello, hello.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
What's that thing say?
Whatever. No,
stop fucking with me, Skype.
I approve.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MMA and stuff.
That's Mike. I'm Matt. Halfguarded.com.
And this is how trained professionals do things.
A well-oiled machine, I would say.
Damn right.
So, yeah, we're going to talk some MMA and stuff this week. Let's start with the show everyone's been talking about.
Your pillowcase.
Tons of people watched it. Yeah, the Puggle ate my 20-year-old WWE Attitude Era pillowcase my mom made for me. It also glowed in the dark. It's
pillowcase
a little
upsetting. Or the Puggle?
The pillowcase.
Okay.
Pillowcase. Like the WWF-like logo would glow in the dark. I don't feel like it did anymore. I feel like that wore out over the years after being washed numerous times. But, yeah, it was a bummer. That was the backup pillow stuff because my daughter had lice. So we washed everything, and then that was, like, our third-string pillow case. So it wasn't a big deal, but it was a little sentimental. I'm a little shook up over it. So if I break into tears at any point,
how's your kid get
you'll
lice?
Understand. They get, it's weird. Like, our neighbors have had it. Cousins have had it. It happens all the time. One kid in the school gets it. Lice is a thing that still happens, yes.
Wow, I feel like that's like dirty people or something.
You would think, but no, not really. Then you have to get shampoo, and we all wash our hair with this weird, like, greasy shampoo. It's a whole thing. It's good. Yeah. Yeah.
Such is life.
And sometimes, like, neighbors have had it or cousins have had it, and then we all just do it just to be safe anyway. But I guess my daughter definitely had it this time. That was more my wife's project. I washed Coop, and she took care of Emma.
So, and your dog was just eating your pillowcase the whole time, while you motherfuckers, while the parents are away, the dog will play with the pillowcase.
That was today. I don't know. But, yeah, she got into Emma's Easter basket. Was it last week? I don't know if I talked about it. But Emma still had a bunch of Easter candy left in her basket. She had it up in her closet. And the dog, like, nosed her way into the closet and basically ate all the candy, then diarrheaed on the kitchen floor, puked on the couch, and pissed upstairs on the carpet. It was like a trifecta of stuff. And then Emma's also pissed because she ate all her candy. It was good.
I think you're bearing the lead there in that your kid is, like, well-behaved enough that she didn't eat all her candy right away.
Yeah.
Like, what kid saves their Easter candy? As a kid, you just pounded that shit until you vomited. Like, I would have been like the dog.
Yeah, she doesn't care that much about it, to be honest. Like, she'll save it. Like, we still have weird, like, Santa candies left over from Christmas in our kitchen.
That can't be healthy.
I don't know. Well, you see, like, the Christmas candy go on sale before Halloween. Shit's, like, I don't know, really well preserved.
Yeah, that's good to have in your body. Food that never goes bad.
Probably not. Did you ever see the clip of, like, that McDonald's burger that was, like, 20 years old and it didn't change or morph at all? It looked, like, identical. Like,
really?
It was in somebody's closet for, like, yeah, you can Google it. Jeez. But it was, like, in somebody's closet for 20 years and there's just so much crap in it. It looked like a regular burger. Like, it didn't rot. Nothing happened to it. Like, the bun wasn't moldy or anything. It's really gross. Anyway, that's how you get cheap food. Are you Googling the 20-year-old burger?
I wanted to try to figure out in my head. I'm like, how could that be? Like, I've seen hamburger buns from McDonald's. They get moldy. Like, I've seen this happen, I think. So what would you have to have in some sort of magic closet or something like that? I don't know, who has a hamburger in a closet for 20 years.
I swear that was the story, but
I don't doubt you. I don't. I'm just trying to figure out all the angles without it. And when I say figure out all the angles, like I said kind of before, I'm not going to actually read or learn. I just want to kind of guess. And then I kind of come up with the one that goes, yeah, that sounds about the best. Sure.
I got it right now. I'll send it to you. It's a BuzzFeed article. Trump says that's fake news. Trump eats a lot of McDonald's, and look at him. He's well-preserved.
Shockingly well-preserved. Hey, he knows, though. He knows to not get in trouble. What am I trying to say? To avoid assassination attempts by poisoning.
That's why he eats McDonald's.
Yeah.
Imagine if that happened. Wouldn't that be crazy? Be a crazy way for like a high, powerful official to be killed in this day and age.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, setting aside the craziness of Donald Trump getting assassinated, which was still 50-50 odds on that, I think. If he gets poisoned, there's only one country right now in the world that's really well known for poisoning people.
Yeah, North Korea, right?
Or Russia.
Oh, Russia too, yeah. Well, remember the North Korea one where they killed the brother with the whatever, the rag? I always imagine that. I forget what there was a wrestling angle they would do all the time with like a rag soaked. I think they said like soaked in ether.
Ether,
or something.
Yeah. That was like in the movies, always knock somebody out with that.
Right. I forget what I was going to say now.
I don't know why they don't try that shit. You know?
Oh, poison? Yeah.
Like
it's easy for
Kim Jong-un. If you poison Trump, how do you actually think America is going to go to war over that? I mean, we'd be really, really pissed, but are the Democrats going to fight a war to avenge the death of Donald Trump? Like, genuinely, like, if it was almost any other, even like George W., who they hated with a vile passion, or Reagan, they still would probably be like, well, that's our president. But it feels like with Trump, we're in a whole new ball game here.
Possibly. Well, like, back in, like, medieval times, like, the kings and princes or whatever would have, like, servants test the food for him to make sure it wasn't poisoned and they wouldn't get killed that way.
Yeah, that's a hell of a job.
Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, I'm the food eater, just in case there's something in this.
And it turns out that some of those guys... What the fuck happened to the one king that didn't know it, but, like, his food tester was, like, lactose intolerant or something? So every time he kept eating anything with milk, he'd get sick. And so the king just never had milk because he just assumed this stuff was always poisoned.
Yeah, the guy had a gluten allergy.
Exactly. celiac disease was a big deal back then.
The big show this past weekend, everyone was talking about Bellator 197, Chandler versus Gertz. This was on April 13th on Friday night at the Family Arena in St. Charles, Missouri. The original main event was Michael Chandler versus Brent Primus in a rematch for the lightweight title. Primus got hurt, and on short notice, Brandon Gertz stepped in, and Gertz lost quickly to an arm triangle at 4 minutes of the first round.
Yeah, I actually did watch this one. He punched him a little bit in the face, and he just got him down, and he transitioned so quick on the arm triangle that it almost looked like it was fake, but it wasn't. And then when it was all over, I was like, okay, this is fine. But I'm like, I know that, you know, you always want to make money and stuff, but what's Michael Chandler doing with his life? Like, this is what he's doing. He's fighting in Bellator. He's not even, like, their champion, but he's kind of their champion. He's kind of, like, in the mix. But it's basically just, like, he stays in the company, and then other people get rotated through that are more or less better than him, but not that much better. And then he kind of fights him for a little while, and then they move on. He's like the champion of some old 1970s pro wrestling territory. Does he want to go to the big show, man? Like, to have some balls.
I don't know. I'm guessing it comes down to money. I don't know what he's getting paid by Bellator. Maybe the UFC offers have sucked, and he just decided, you know what? I'll take easier fights and make more money for it. He could be. Afterwards, he said he could beat Khabib Nurmagomedov 10 out of 10 times, which is a very high percentage.
That's a real dumb one to say there. Yeah. I mean, you could give Khabib one arm, and I'd still favor him over Michael Chandler. What is this little fucking moron talking? Whatever, go ahead. Oh, I could beat Khabib out of 10 out of 10 times. Then fucking go do it. It's not like the UFC is denying you. Like, really, if you want to beat him, that's a great thing about cage fighting. Usually, the other guy's like, hey, yeah, I like to punch people in the face, too. Fuck you. So, yeah, you want to fight Khabib? Nothing stopping you, pussy. Come on, let's do it.
AJ McKee defeated Justin Lawrence by unanimous decision. Logan Storley defeated Joaquin Buckley by unanimous decision. And opening the show, Kevin Ferguson Jr., also known as Baby Slice, defeated Devin Brock with a rear naked choke at a minute 34 of the first.
He should be Kimbo Jr. You know, it just sounds good. Kimbo Jr.
Son of Kimbo has a nice ring of it, too.
It does, but I'm going to go with Kimbo Jr. because I think it fits all the criteria of a black name. One, Kimbo sounds like it's an African type of thing, so you get that kind of cred. But, like, a junior, I feel like that's an old-school southern, like, Mississippi slave guy. Like, this is my boy, Junior. What is it, Kimbo? Kimbo Jr. Son of Kimbo is too ethnic all around. You throw in that junior, I think that's, like, a very American thing. Because, like, they don't have juniors over in Europe, because they're all, like, on the, you know, the 15th or some shit like that. So we're the only ones with juniors, and, yeah. So Kimbo Jr.,
okay, yeah. You should maybe look into managing him.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Apparently, no one really actually cared about this show. It did the lowest ratings in Bellator history, I believe, on
Three.
The Paramount Network. 242,000 people watched this show.
I mean, you get, like, random people you've never heard of in your life streaming more than that on YouTube. What the fuck?
In comparison, Combate Americas, which would be simulcast for the first time, had 583,000 viewers across Univision and Univision Deportes for their event starting at midnight. So they started 3 hours later than Bellator and did double their ratings.
I don't even know what the fuck they are, other than it's fighting and they speak Spanish, and there's a lot of people who speak Spanish, and like, yeah, I want to watch fighting, and I want to, when I hear it, I want to hear some asshole yell, ay, or something.
I think, like, Campbell McLaren's behind it, and they had, what's his face, Alberto Del Rio was involved for a while. He was, like, their figurehead president, but other than that, I've never actually seen, yeah.
Wait, it's fake. Is it fake? Fake or real?
It's real. It's MMA.
Oh, okay. But they have a figurehead pro wrestler as a figurehead president.
I think he has some title, or they already got rid of him, but he was involved. He was at, like, press conferences and stuff.
He ruined Paige. You know, you really look at her. I mean, she's a mess and a half now, but I think he took her on the road and just, I don't know if he did it or he just let her blossom, but something happened to that one.
Yeah, neither of them seem too stable.
No. And not only is he older than her, but he's one of those guys that looks like he's in his mid-50s. You know, he's got like that, like, there's like a certain really rugged, handsome Mexican man look. You get like a Mexican man in his 50s of a certain, like, stature. And you go, yeah, that guy's like a king. Because, like, they kind of got a little gangster in them, and you know that all of their money comes from exploiting the fuck out of people. Like, they're running glorified slave labor or whatever. But, yeah. Maybe they sell coffee or something.
Maybe. On Saturday night, we had UFC on Fox, Poirier versus Gaethje. That was from the Gila River Arena in Glendale, Arizona. Attendance was 11,382 with a gate of $1 million. In the main event, Dustin Poirier defeated Justin Gaethje by TKO at 33 seconds of the fourth round. This fight was awesome. I highly recommend it. It's probably might be the best fight so far this year. I know it's only April, but I'm trying to think.
Yeah, this is Magomed Sharipov's fight.
That was good, too. I like this one better because I felt like it was you know, two really elite guys just throwing bombs. Gaethje can work that leg kick, man. He does it in every fight, and every guy he fights, he screws up their lead leg, and it by, like, the third, fourth round, the guy's hobbled. In this case, Poirier managed to land a couple good punches at the end of the beginning of the fourth, and ended up getting the TKO win. But this fight was a brawl. Poirier was bleeding. Gaethje was bleeding. Poirier's leg was a mess. Just an awesome brawl. I hit Gaethje, I think, up 2-1 at that point, and he kind of looked like he was pulling away until the fourth.
Justin Gaethje's he's inhuman. Like, this dude takes a beating. I'm watching
no
this fight
defense.
Again now.
No
like,
defense.
It's weird. Like, he turtles up. He's kind of got a, like, I don't know. Like, he's obviously absorbing the shots somehow. And, like, I thought the fight was just, it was obviously an awesome fight, but it was also really funny because of shit like, Gaethje is taking all this punishment, and it's like he's, like, charging up his kick meter, and then he would just kick the fuck out of his legs with one big kick, and then he'd reset, and 15 seconds later, just another big kick, and these kicks were so massive that they all hurt like hell, and it was kind of like a race against the clock, a war of attrition, like, was Poirier's leg going to give out, or Gaethje's chin? That's what these two motherfuckers are playing chicken, and they're going to see who cracked, and damned if Poirier, he made it. I mean, I can't believe it. But unlike Michael Chandler, he has a legitimate claim for saying, hey, Khabib, I want to fight you. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, in Gaethje's career, he's got 3 wins by leg kick where the guy couldn't continue. TKO leg kick wins. They're brutal, and it's like nobody, like, obviously, like, people argue, like, oh, you should just check the leg kick, and it's like, that can be worse. Like, if you don't do that right, like, shin to shin is not a pleasant feeling.
Well, that's what always gets me is when people talk about that, like, and I know what they mean, because, like, the way you check the leg kick is you do try to basically make it shin to shin, because it'll hurt real bad, but it doesn't do any damage.
Right.
And I get the idea is that, you know, better to be in pain than to actually have your knee get destroyed or leg get crippled. But I don't know, man. I'm kind of with you. Like, my instinct with all that is every time would be like, I don't want to kick in the shin. Like, that fucking hurts a lot.
Right.
I feel like that's one of those pains that would immediately bring me out of the cage fight and into the real world. Of course, there's a lot of other things I'd probably feel before I ever got to that point. So it's probably nothing I need to worry about, but just in case.
So obviously the big question now is what happens with Poirier. This is, you know, a big win, main event on Fox. He is on a good run. Let's see what's going on with him here. So he's coming off a win over Jim Miller, the no contest with Eddie Alvarez, a win over Pettis in an awesome fight, and this Gaethje fight, which was awesome. I think he was ranked 5th before this, and Gaethje was ranked 6th, I believe. So he can't really move up too far in the rankings, you know, with the logjam there with Khabib and Conor and Ferguson. It's a little bit of a mess right now, but you would think he'd be in the mix. The other guy that's still hanging around is Eddie Alvarez, who's got a win over Gaethje as well. But apparently Alvarez has refused to fight a rematch with Poirier 5 times now. That's Poirier's claim. So if Alvarez won't fight Poirier, I don't know where you go or what you do with Poirier, because he deserves a bigger fight. He deserves one of the top 3 guys at this point, or at least Eddie Alvarez. I don't want him fighting Kevin Lee or Barboza. You know what I mean? I'd like to see him get a higher ranked guy, but I don't know how you do it right now.
Well, I mean, look, he does have like a 1-in-3 shot of getting a title shot. You know, just by, he gets one of those guys above him, and he just claims for a title. Him and Eddie Alvarez makes the most sense, or him and Tony Ferguson. I feel like Ferguson's the odd man out right now in the title picture.
Sure.
So I think him and Ferguson would be, I mean, it could only be an amazing fight. And it's also like the one guy, like, of the high-level guys there, Ferguson's the one I think that Poirier has the best chance to beat. Or at least, like, compete with. Like, Khabib's Khabib, and Conor already whooped his ass.
Right.
So Ferguson might be a shot there. Otherwise, it is weird to keep getting all these wins, and just because, I don't know, a certain bunch of assholes have decided to tie up the division for 2 years doing fuck all. He's getting nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Poirier's 7-1-1 if you count the no contest since the Conor fight. He's good, man. 23-5, and it's like he's been fighting the best guys in the world for forever, you know, since 2010 in WEC. He's earned it, you know. Like through his career, he's got wins over Holloway, you know, Eric Koch, Yancy Medeiros, Joseph Duffy, Jim Miller, Pettis, Gaethje. It's like he's earned it. He's there and deserves it. It's just the timing's not good.
Yeah, well, you know, timing's a bitch. But if he keeps winning against, you know, that's it. All he has to do is just never lose again, then he'll eventually get it.
And then you've got Justin Gaethje here. He started his career at 18-0, you know, had the win, one win over Michael Johnson and another, you know, fight of the year contender. And now he's lost two in a row to Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier, one by KO, one by TKO. And you got to wonder, obviously he's fighting the elite guys in the division, very good guys, but at the same time, he takes a lot of freaking damage. It's like he covers up and just takes shots and gets rocked and will take three to give one, and it's like that style's going to start wearing on him. And I saw something, an interview with him, where he said he thinks he's only got five fights left in his career, which is like he's already thinking about retiring, and it already sounds like he's kind of beat up as it is. So I don't know where he goes from here. Obviously, he's got maybe he'll fight the loser, Kevin Lee and Barboza. I don't know. I'd like to see him move a little more and not take as many shots, I guess, is what I'm saying.
He'll never do that. He'll never do that. He just is who he is, and that's why, like, sometimes there are men that know that they have to fight. Just because they have, like, those two men are in town, and they don't hate each other. They may be friends, they respect, but they know they got to go out there and beat, well, they got to beat each other's ass. And it's not just for each other, it's for the townspeople to know which one of them really is the alpha. And so they go out there and they battle, and these guys all know it. Like, they can kind of sense each other, like the ultimate alpha male or whatever. Like, they get it. Gaethje's got that fight in front of him. He's just in one side of the octagon, and there's only one other person on the other side. That's Donald Cerrone.
These two
are just the perfect guys who just look at each other and be like, yep, I heard about you. You like to just put your hands down and just fucking throw, huh? You never back up. You never quit. You take three to give one. Yeah, I think I do that too. Let's dance, motherfucker. It's perfect. I mean, that'd be a main event in any arena in the country.
Yeah, Gaethje's falling down to number 7 now in the rankings. Obviously, there's some, not that the rankings mean much, but like guys below him, there's Nate Chiesa, Iaquinta, James Vick, Pettis, Alexander Hernandez. I'm not sure how he got. That's what I was thinking. I think it was the roided up guy who beat not Bilal Muhammad, Benil Dariush.
Oh, yeah.
Like that knockout. I think that's him. Paul Felder moved into the rankings. He was unranked before. I guess everyone realized he should be ranked after UFC 223. And
I imagine that's what they happened. Like somebody's looking around going, we'll just give him a fucking ranking next time so we can give him a title shot.
Felder versus Gaethje. I'd watch that fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Gaethje. With very few exceptions, he's basically going to guaranteed have a good fight.
In the semi-main event, we had Alex Oliveira defeating Carlos Condit by guillotine at 3:17 in the second round. I thought Condit looked better in this fight than the Magny fight. And I thought he kind of won the first round and looked decent, but Oliveira, it was weird. There was like a scramble, and I think Condit got hit with a shot and got rocked, and then Oliveira got the guillotine on. Condit had said that he went out, came to, and then went out again. So kind of a
that
tough fight for
Condit.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I watched it in real time, it kind of did seem like he went out and then came to and then went out again. Like, yeah. There was just something about the length of the choke, and it looked pretty deep. And, like, just the way that he kind of sprang back to life, I'm like, yeah, I've seen that kind of reaction there. But I think, yeah, you'd mentioned that he got, I don't know what it was, a punch or a kick, really kind of put him on queer straight, LGBTQ street. But I didn't, he looked good. Other than that, like, he was out grappling him, and he moved well. His wrestling was okay, but he still did lose. And against a guy who isn't really that good, and who had like 3 days notice, and he looks like he doesn't own a pair of shoes. Yeah, I feel like Carlos Condit's time is definitely gone.
I agree. Condit is now 2-7 in his last 9.
Just have him fight Robbie Lawler. Just do it. Why don't they just kill him? Just get it over with. Have him rematch that shit.
Yeah, poor Condit. I loved Condit, like, back in WEC. He was, like, my favorite fighter. Israel Adesanya defeated Marvin Vettori by split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. It's supposed to be, like, a coming-out party for Adesanya. He's got a kickboxing background. I think he's from New Zealand. His striking's good, but it was, like, you like to see him finish a guy like Vettori. And maybe Adesanya is not... I don't know what to make of this fight, because the idea was this was supposed to be like an emphatic win for Adesanya, and it just wasn't.
I think we've talked about him before. He's got that MMA nerd insider credibility, but that ain't... This shit happens all the time. They're always fancy strikers, and they're from countries that don't wrestle, and people just see this shit, and it turns out... Yeah, they got a lot of natural talent. And this guy, Adesanya, he does have some great reflexes. Like, there's some of that stuff going, wow, he really is a hell of an athlete. But I saw this shit, people like, it reminded me of John Jones. No, it didn't. Come on. Like, we've seen guys move like this, and the kind of freak athleticism that makes you stand up and go, wow, is when a guy does it grappling-wise. We see, a lot of guys are pretty decent strikers, and, like, a really great striker can still look pretty awesome at a low level because guys can't really wrestle. But come on, guys. Just put decision over a fucking Italian? Really? That's your big claim to fame there?
In the opener, we had Michelle Watterson defeating Courtney Casey by a split decision, 29-28,
28-29,
and
29-28. Yeah, I don't know. I watched it. What stood out the most was Casey coming really close on a lot of submissions, like several arm bars where he thought, geez, I don't know how she didn't get the win, but other than that, they just kind of scrambled a lot. Michelle Watterson's just way too fucking small for 115 pounds, which is a really weird thing to say, but she is absolutely a 105-pound fighter.
Yeah, she looked small. Casey like towered over her, was bigger everywhere. But I felt like Watterson was the better fighter, more technical, better on the ground, better striking, but was just fighting a bigger fighter in this case. But she managed to pull off the split decision. I did not see much of the prelims. I saw some highlights. I know there was an Omoplata or something on the prelims. Again,
don't know. I saw some of the prelims, but...
Yeah, on Fight Pass, a guy named Adam Wizarek defeated Arhan Bueller. By Omoplata at 159 of the second, which is unusual. I think it's the second one ever in the UFC. So that was something.
Yeah, the Omoplata's... Ben Saunders has one.
Killer B, yeah.
But, yeah, that's and the go-go plot is easier, it seems, in competition than an Omoplata. Like, that's a really tough submission to get.
Yeah. Well, it was heavyweight, too, which just makes me think the guy might not have been real familiar with what was going on, but that's probably stereotyping Arhan Bueller, the heavyweight who wore a turban to the show.
Oh, that dude lost?
I think so.
Omoplata? So the guy
Indian
who celebrated
Sikh descent, yes.
Yeah, the guy that they celebrate is the first ever Sikh that comes to the cage ring a thing. It's like he lost to like the one move that no one loses to.
Yes. That's what
really
happened.
Doesn't really say a lot for that Sikh population and their fighting prowess in the future.
Antonio
it's like if Jackie Robinson showed up and on the first day just swung at every single pitch and missed all of them, we'd really be talking about him as a figure these days.
No. And then we've got Antonio Carlos Jr. Shoeface defeating Tim Boetsch, the rear naked choke. Boetsch doesn't get submitted much, so that kind of caught my eye. And Shoeface has now won 5 in a row in the UFC. So he's on a bit of a run and is really good on the ground. Most of his wins are by submission, so he's somebody to keep an eye on, too.
Yeah, he's got... I think he's going to be the next, like Damian Maia level fighter in his division, where he's obviously very good on the ground. He's come down from heavyweight to middleweight, so he's shredded. And there's just not that many guys who are great on the ground. You know, they have Jacare, but submission artists are rarer in MMA these days than kickboxers. You know, you get a lot of guys strike, but very few guys have that world class grappling. Now, part of the problem is that it's not like he's so great that it's something no one's ever seen before good, but it's definitely good enough that a guy like Tim Boetsch, he gets tapped out because he's a flabby bitch.
Fight of the night went to Poirier and Gaethje. Performance of the night went to Alex Oliveira and Adam Wizorek. And anything else catch your eye on the show?
I felt like when I saw them, like when they had like the black dude from Fox and two other people talking or whatever, I can't remember where they were, but it felt like Fox didn't like them. I don't know, I just got the impression like the black dude's heart wasn't into it. Like he feel like there's some rumblings going on that the UFC's leaving Fox and he's kind of put off by it. I could just be completely making that up, but let's assume I'm right.
Well, a story came out today. It's funny you mention this, that ESPN and Fox Sports may be teaming up for a UFC TV rights bid. Have you heard this story?
There was one that came out a couple of days ago.
Yeah, this was recent. Variety reported this. I think. Let me see.
Oh, this one's from Variety. I remember it was just some bullshit from the Underground.
No, this is more legit. This came out yesterday. I'm just going to read it to you. Variety has learned that the two companies have recently proposed to split the UFC TV package in a move that would bring as many as 15 fight events to new subscription streaming service ESPN Plus. According
to subscribe to.
Really?
I subscribed to it on day one, yeah. They moved my favorite, because my favorite soccer show, ESPN FC, which I watch every single day at 5 o'clock, they moved it there, and I'm like, well, I fucking really, really like that show, and for $5 a month, it comes out to like a quarter a day. I'm like, yeah, I'd pay a quarter to watch this show, so I did it.
Cool. According to sources with knowledge of the proposal, ESPN has signaled that it would be willing to pay $120 to $180 million per year to add the Endeavor-owned MMA league to its collection of live event rights. Fox, which currently pays $120 million per year for UFC rights, would be willing to see that number increase to a little more than $200 million. Fox's current package includes 4 Saturday night fights per year on Fox, and a number of fight events on Fox Sports 1 that has increased annually under its current agreement. The joint bid with ESPN would see Fox's total number of events decline slightly.
I mean, this sounds like somebody just rehashed the shit from the Underground. It just has a very similar, when I first heard it, I'm just like, oh, fuck off. It sounds like some dorky pro wrestling fan being like, they're going to split the brand, and these guys will be on this show, and these guys will be on that show, and blah, blah, blah. But then I realized I might be looking at this from a narrow-minded perspective. If you really are truly a sport, sports are on multiple TV channels all the time. The NFL is on, like, every channel. So if you're the UFC, you could be sitting there going, well, that fight's over on you. We'll fight with you. And it really kind of would be taking that next evolutionary step to becoming a sport. You know, Fox is going to produce it this way. ESPN does it that way. As long as you're the ones running it, you're actually running the true sport. And that's the way they take it to the next level. So I applaud their brilliant decision here. Or it's going to fucking fail, and this is all bullshit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is for Endeavor to increase the rights fees, but maybe they're having a hard time finding one network to take all the programming and pay all the costs themselves, so you split it up between two companies, and each one pays a little less, and you still end up getting your, you know, $300 to $400 million a year that you were looking for and promised your investors.
Plus, if you're splitting it between ESPN and Fox, you're guaranteed, now you're giving both of like your prime sports networks an incentive to cover you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so fighters on SportsCenter and all the time now, yeah.
Although, even then, I think a lot of that's just overblown. And the future is all kids on YouTube. That's what I decided. If it doesn't play with 12-year-olds on YouTube, it's no good.
Yeah, I agree. I think TV is obviously changing, but I also feel like a lot of these networks are desperate and need something to keep things going. And it's like UFC's live TV. People are less apt to change the channel. They're going to watch it live. They'll be more apt to watch the advertising and the commercials as opposed to, you know, DVR, fast forwarding through everything, missing it, and advertisers will pay more for it. So it's like they got to pony up some money to just stay competitive. I think at some point it's going to either plateau or drop off completely, but it's like we're just not quite there yet, it seems. Then the other question is what would this mean for WWE, too, because the rumor has been that Fox was negotiating with WWE and was going to put Raw on Fox on Monday nights, which would be huge for WWE, but I guess Fox Sports are split now anyway, so that might not even matter, right? Is Fox
Sports?
I
don't know. I don't even know if it would be a big deal. It sounds like it, but they're not selling pay-per-views anymore. They're selling their network, and yeah, it's a little more exposure, but I don't even know. Like, this isn't the 80s. This isn't the 90s. You know, like, literally, like, my channels, like, I started, like, 173 is ESPN, 190 is Fox, and 203 is ESPN2. Like, these channels, there's no difference. Nobody has. I don't even know if you can get on cable anymore. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Fox is in a lot more homes than USA, though. Like, significant. Like, 30 million more homes or something.
Eh. Fuck them.
Okay. Well, that's the latest on the UFC's TV deal.
Solid. I'll watch it wherever it is. I'm looking forward to like a new color scheme. I want to see somebody else do something with the UFC.
Well, that was the other part. That UFC wanted to give up production and let the networks handle it. So shows would probably look vastly different.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Bring back the blue cage.
Maybe they can film with like drones.
They need to have Vince get involved. He has all kinds of ideas how to film shit.
You know what I hate? When the referee wears a camera on his head.
Man, it never looks good.
So shit, the quality is shitty, and it's like moving all around because the ref's moving around to see what's going on. The only person it would be good on would be like Steve Mazzagatti. It'd be just be shots of him staring off into the audience the whole fight.
Like, you would just be sitting there, and like you'd get like, wow, we really got a solid look at the unnecessary ground and pound for 15 or 20 seconds, because Mazzagatti just fucking stood there looking at it.
He dozed off. I know something else you're really looking forward to is the Professional Fighters League. That's we got some more details on the inaugural season here. It's going to start in June, so that's less than 2 months away. Now, apparently they're doing the playoff thing, I guess is the best way, a tournament is the best way to describe it. So they've got a new broadcasting deal with NBC Sports Network and Facebook. The first PFL show is set for June 7th in New York City with the featherweight and heavyweight divisions comprising the entire card. So I guess essentially, you know, you win your fight, you move on, and the winner of each tournament, weight division, wins $1 million. There's some familiar names in here. They've got not a lot, actually. Sean Jordan, Steven Seiler, Jared Rochal, Francimara Barroso, Marcus Galvao, Andre Harrison.
Jared Rochal's going to win $1 million. You know, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be like it's going to be like Affliction, where I'm just going to be sitting there going, are you serious, this fucking guy? You gave, like when Cole Conrad kept winning shit for Bellator, and it's just like, all right, this fat loser who nobody really thinks is that great, he's just beating your shit.
Will Brooks has moved on to the PFL. He was a Bellator champ and went 0-3 in the UFC.
This is some sort of money laundering scam. Everybody's aware of that, right? I mean, it's the same fucking organization, the same people running it, I'm sure. It looks the same. They just changed the name. And now they're going to have a giant million-dollar cash tournament. Think these fuckers are going to have multiple millions of dollars to give away throughout multiple weight classes. They're 100% counting on this shit never finishing. They're not expecting a single million-dollar prize to be won. Then they can just write it all off, and they can just cycle through the dirty money that I'm sure the Turks are cleaning with heroin.
I'm pretty sure the company sold, and a D.C.-based company bought it. I think it's somebody that like is part owner of the Capitals or something, some sports, maybe the Wizards. Is it even the Wizards anymore? Whatever.
Yeah, those fuckers all dirty too, man. Everybody's got money in the world except for me. They're all dirty.
Okay. Also in the tournament is Jake Shields and Rick Story in the welterweight division.
Of course, yeah, why not? Jake Shields, I'm sure John Fitch will show up.
Abu Bak, no, he's in Bellator now. Fitch is in Bellator. He's going to fight Paul Daly. Abu Bakar Nurmagomedov, Khabib's brother's in it.
That's it. They really expect me to believe that they're going to give $1 million to Jared Rochal and then some random fucking Dagestanis who are just over here as ringers, essentially. That's what it is. Oh, that is what it is. They bring all these Dagestanis. They come. They win the money. They have a legitimate reason why they got the money. And then they can just hand it out to all their drug buddies back in Dagestan, where I assume that they're selling drugs on some level, even though they're all Muslim. But I assume that they think it's okay to sell poison to Christians. I certainly do.
In the light heavyweight division, we have Vinny Magalesh.
Yeah, they're just nailing. There's like this cadre of names that just funnel into all these sub kind of promotions where they're guys who are not on the up, they're not on the down. Maybe every once in a while they get a sniff by the UFC, but no one expects anything off them. Yeah, you got your Jake Shields, you got Vinny Magalesh. You got Will Brooks is a good addition to the roster there. You're going to see, who else would be out there? We had John Fitch for all those years. Watch for Paul Harris. You know, I know he's over in Europe losing all the time, but I think he can come back here and win. Come back here and lose. Yeah, he can do that.
We've got Jason High, Thiago Tavares, Chris Wade.
We're just getting like those UFC 90 to UFC 120 Spike TV main events going all throughout this shit.
So basically, the winners get $1 million. Those who reach the playoffs will receive $50,000 as quarterfinalists, $100,000 for the semifinals, and $200,000 for runners up.
Yeah, so they want me to believe that they're going to give away $1 million to the winner, and then they're going to give away that much money to the losers? Come on. Like, seriously? You know, I will say, though, I saw some random PFL shit on TV, and like then I saw some random World Series of Fighting, and I realized I really like World Series of Fighting as a promotion. It has that feel of WEC where it's very well produced. Like, it's got better production values, I think, than UFC does. It's just well shot. the crowd seemed kind of there. The fighters go, you know, they try. It's well lit. I'm just like, it looks like a really, like, Bellator always looks like shit. It always looks dark. The arenas are just dark as fuck. Poor lighting. The little circle cage looks dumb. It just looks like it's a low-rent ECW type of product there. World Series of Fighting, it seemed like somebody with money was, you know, really trying to create some quality programming there. And that's why I think that there's some, you know, some funny business.
My favorite PFL, WSOF show was the one, I think it was during, like, the Daytona 500 or something.
Yes!
And it's, like, in the middle of the track, and, like, it was raining. So they canceled, like, the race, the car race, because it was too dangerous. But they had these guys fighting outside, and, like, three guys, like, tore their ACLs during the show. So good.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's like a WCW type of promotion. They're going to weird fucking venues. They got money to spend. You're not really sure what they're spending it on. But, yeah, I like it.
The Nevada State Athletic Commission has suspended boxer Canelo Alvarez for 6 months after he failed two drug tests. We've talked about this numerous times, but his suspension is official now. He tested positive for clenbuterol during out-of-competition drug tests in February. He blamed the positive test on tainted meat from his native Mexico. Alvarez's suspension included a mandate that he must pass drug tests before he fights again in Nevada. His rematch with Triple G, set for May 5th at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, had already been postponed. Golovkin
says
he's a cheater. Yes.
Like, what the fuck drug are you doing you only get 6 months for? Did I miss it? Like, where the UFC got stricter and stricter with their testing, bigger and more badass punishments, and, like, over there, boxing said, yeah, you can use Drostanolol, and 90-day suspension get caught. Just letting any kind of shit go through now? Is that what it is? Because I think I said before, I'm like, I think you'll just fight him in this fall or whatever. Yeah, they'll probably think this thing began, like, in March or whatever, and, like, oh, he's eligible to fight in September. Oh, what a big surprise.
Right. Well, if you look at actually how the UFC handles clenbuterol, most of those guys have received no punishment.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I'd have to look it up, but, yeah, most of those guys...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because
they
said it was tainted to me, and they couldn't help it. They were in China. Remember, like, Taihoon Bang, and there were a couple other guys. The only one who got in trouble was Francisco Rivera because he lied about it.
Yeah, that's right. That is true. Well, then they shouldn't give him any suspension. Either all or nothing, damn it.
Well, the difference
also, we know he's a cheater. We just know he is. He's, like, failed before or something. It turns out he hadn't, but I feel like he's a cheater.
Any athletes who are good are probably cheating.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a fair statement. Yeah,
Thank you.
I completely get on board with that. Also, what does it really say about people when... his excuse, we all buy his excuse, and it's kind of racist that we do, right? Like, yeah, you know, I'm not really surprised the meat in Mexico is not very safe, ha, ha, ha. Yet it's still kind of true. I'm not sure if it's racist or not.
I don't know if it's racist. I mean, facts don't care about your feelings, right?
Well, yeah, but it's like, you know, being like a black guy was like, yeah, he made some comment like, oh, I couldn't train hard for this fight. I had some personal issues at home. Everybody's like, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, my cousin got shot in drive-by. Like, you all go, yeah, that sounds like something that happens to black people. All right, yeah. But, like, if I said that, you'd be like, what the fuck? You're, like, nobody would think my cousin got shot in a drive-by. You'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? Who are you, cousin? My cousin is a vegan. Nobody shoots a vegan. Come on.
A fight everybody was looking forward to was Shogun versus Voltron Uzdemir, but that fight has been at least postponed at this time because... Volkan is not being allowed into Chile due to his recent arrest on felony assault charges.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking awesome. I love it. You know, first of all, he's an idiot. But, it's always something that's kind of like, this doesn't really work because he's not actually an American, but pretending he's American here. Kind of, he's not American, right?
I don't believe so.
No, yeah, he's Switzerland. Yeah. The balls in any country in South America to be like, I don't know, somebody coming to us from America, you might be a little dangerous here. We're not going to let you in. Like, fuck you. You're Chile. Who are you to say somebody's dangerous? Like, you people, like, your form of currency is to punch someone in the face. Inflation's a bitch.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I honestly thought it was strange that UFC was okay with Volkan fighting Cormier with, like, that shit still up in the air. I feel like, I don't know, like, granted you're innocent until proven guilty, but do you want to be putting your light heavyweight title on a guy who's might be going to jail for beating the shit out of some guy outside a bar? Then it's like, he's not even allowed into another country because of it, but you're fine with letting him fight. To me, it's just, I don't know, it's not the best look part.
When they let him fight, I took that as a sign that whatever was there wasn't, like, that bad. Like, the story, like, we're not missing anything from it here. And I know that, like, some of these things are just, you know, it's just bureaucracy. They've got their laws, and I think a lot of, every country likes to try to, these are the fun things to exercise your authority over. Like, Japan, they're real big dicks about the felony thing. Like, nobody the felony can come to Japan.
Right.
There's no reason to deny Paul McCartney entry into Japan. It's fucking Paul McCartney. But yet, they did it. Why? Because they're dicks. But it's good to be a dick sometimes. It reminds you how to assert your authority, how to dominate. Because that's what a dick is for. It's dominating.
I don't have a good segue there. I was going to say, speaking of dicks, we have Holly Holm versus Megan Anderson booked for UFC 225. But that just
Holly Holm
really
looks like
slow.
She has a... I feel like Holly Holm, actually both these chicks look like they have sizable clits on them. Like mini penis like clits. They just got that look. Like when they walk, there's a little wide gap in their gait. Like, oh yeah, they're powerful women. They're not listening.
That fight's going to be at UFC 225 on June 9th in Chicago.
Uh-oh. I maybe should have watched what I said. Maybe I should have let you finish up with the news item before accusing them of having some sort of hermaphroditic tendencies. Fuck.
The belt will be fought at 145 pounds and could be a title eliminator to see who fights Cyborg next.
What do you mean could be? It's literally the women's 145-pound division. This is the first time they've had a non-title fight, I think, in that division. By default, it has to be a title eliminator.
You're right.
There's literally no one else in the division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Holly Holm isn't in the fucking division. There is no division. The division is just a bunch of chicks who held titles in a weight class below that. It's an awesome division. Like, I'm waiting for Nicole Montano to step up to the plate.
Oh, that'd be a big jump.
Not for Cyborg. She's willing to take on a champion no matter what the weight.
That's true. She is a fighting champ. I still want I want Kayla Harrison to beat the crap out of Cyborg. I'm still waiting for that day. So who do you like in that fight? Anderson or Holm?
Probably Holm. I mean, Megan Anderson's bigger and she's younger. She's less proven though, and you know, Holman's a smart fighter, and I think you've got to be at the. I don't fucking care. I don't want to talk up too much. Like I can tell you, like, you got to actually be really good to beat Holly Holm, and that's true. Like, no, like a scrub isn't going to get by her, and this would be a step up. We can see is Megan Anderson for real, and blah blah blah. And then realize, who gives a fuck about a 145-pound women? There's literally two of them in the company that are actually at that weight class. And one of them's never actually fought in the company.
Speaking of large women fighting, Gabby Garcia's next fight has been announced.
Did they find some sort of octogenarian who used to be a sumo wrestler?
It's going to be her first time fighting MMA outside of Ryzen. She's actually going to fight at Road FC 47 on May 12th at the Cadillac Arena in Beijing, China, against Veronica Futina.
So she's fighting for the exact same company still, because they're all they do over there, I think, is they're running money. I think the whole world is a money laundering front, apparently. But I really think that shit in Japan is. And you can't tell me that MMA in Beijing isn't corrupt. Come on.
For people who forget, Garcia won her first four MMA bouts competing for Ryzen, two by knockout and two by submission. But her last two bookings have been marred by controversy. A fight versus Oksana Gagloeva ended in a no contest after just 16 seconds due to Gagloeva suffering an eye poke, and a subsequent fight with retired Japanese wrestling star Shinobu Kandori was canceled when Garcia missed weight by over 25 pounds.
And in between that, she had a kickboxing match where she kicked someone in the head while they're on the ground. She's on a fucking roll. Here's the thing, though. It makes sense. It works, though, because she is filling that role that Japan loves. It's like Bob Sapp when he's just, like, running roughshod over shit, and you're going, this person's really big, and this is dangerous shit that they're getting away with, but we're all going to watch.
Futina, on the other hand, is a four-time champion in Russian hand-to-hand combat who will be making her MMA debut. She is currently training with two of Garcia's former opponents, Gagloeva and Anna Malyukova.
Like, all right, I went from the beginning of that sentence to the end of that sentence. I went from, oh, fuck, man, like, how much of a badass do you got to be like a hand-to-hand sambo champion, like, in Russia? Like, that's a tough fucking woman there. Like, geez, Louise. Like, you know, like, if you're training with those motherfuckers, like, you got to be the real deal. And then you find out she's training with, like, the pro wrestler or whatever. It's like, really? She's training with the same fucking loser group that is already lost to this chick? Is that what the female MMA training is in the world? Just morons have no business doing this?
And lastly, last note on this fight, the bout is being billed as an open weight contest.
Well, that takes care of that problem. No more repeats of our last mishap, will be.
No, like, you don't have to, that is one to make the 215 this time, Gabby.
Hey. You know what? We should make fun. Because if there's one, there's a story once. It's a true story. I don't know if it's a true story, but my dad told me it. Why would he lie? That post-World War II, they wanted to start manufacturing in Japan. This guy had this idea, and he sent him a toaster, and he's like, hey, can you guys, like, make this replica toaster? And the Japanese guy's like, yeah, we can do it. And he goes, great. I'll take 50,000 of them. And the guy did it, and it came back, and he gave him 50,000 toasters, and they all had a little imperfection, a little dent on it. Because the original model had a little dent on it. They were that precise in how they replicated it, that they just did it perfectly. And then you flash forward a couple of years in the 70s, I'm getting somewhere, people, shut up. And American cars lasted about 5 years, right? Because they were rusted. They always rusted over. The Japanese came along, they invented rust proofing. The Asian people, the Asians as a people are problem solvers. They're not innovators. They're not artists. But they can make little improvements here and there. They think outside the box, is what I'm trying to say. The point of all this is that they have figured out the solution to the weight cut problem in MMA. They just got rid of the weight classes. It's brilliant. It's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, no, nobody has to cut. Nobody misses weight. No one's dehydrated. Just might have a 50-pound weight gap between your fighters, that's all.
Hey, nobody will be dehydrated, though. That's the important thing.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? Hey, plus it's like what's old is new. It's like a hipster thing. Hipsters like that shit. That's just because the MMA version of wearing a fedora.
It's retro.
A fight with no weight.
Yeah. PFL should do all those tournaments just open weight. Just have all those guys fight each other and see what happens.
Fuck yeah. Go back and get me a random football player and shit. Just get me some bloated lineman from the Packers who's got nothing to do. Give me Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
Throw him in there.
Somebody's going to sign him. You know that's coming.
And you know what? And just drag Gary Goodridge out. He could go for a night. Let's just see what happens there. Have Greg Hardy fight Gary Goodridge. I want to see it, damn it. And then throw Gabby Garcia in there with the men. Give her a small man. See what happens.
And lastly, in upcoming fight news, we also have Platinum Mike Perry versus Yancy Medeiros at UFC 226. I only mention it because it should be a really exciting fight, I would think.
Yeah, I bet old Mike Perry's going to lose. I mean, this might be the one fight that he wins. Like he will win a couple of these fights at this level by knockout, but he ain't going anywhere. He's a moron.
He seems like he's trending downwards.
Yeah, and, you know, I like Authentic. I love the Diaz brothers because, you know, they're real and all this stuff. Mike Perry's real, but he's an idiot. Like, he'd be great if this was a bit of an act. And it's not an act. He really did have some random girl in his corner yelling, break his leg. That ain't going to fly, man. I said that shit just doesn't work.
No,
like, you can't get a fucking tattoo on your fucking face and expect me to think that this is a sign of intelligence.
Seems to be the new thing.
I know. Oh, man, I've seen some of these kids. They're all like these white kids. They seem to be all white and skinny. They're all skinny. More
rappers,
they're all rappers. Yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of drugs. White. That helps keep you thin.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, man. They look awful. They just look so fucking stupid.
Yeah, I agree, but it's also it's a generational thing. It's like 20 years ago, people thought we looked stupid with our baggy jeans. You know what I mean?
Now they're tattooing their face.
There'll be something crazier. You know, there'll be something crazier in 20 years. You know what I mean? Like
That's fucking terrifying. People need to stop trying to push the boundary of everything. You're just going to break. It's just going to snap, and you're going to do something really bad then. Mm-hmm. Just respect the tradition a little bit. Just back off. Become a little more conservative for a couple hundred years. Back away. You're already tattooing your face. I don't want to know what comes next. But I think it's going to involve CRISPR, and that's a little terrifying.
Did you see the thing about they're gonna try and end malaria?
Yeah, that's why it's on my mind. I think.
Yeah, that stuff's crazy. I don't have the article in front of me, but
Bill Gates,
something like they were gonna genetically engineer mosquitoes to mate with like regular mosquitoes out in the wild, I guess, and it would make them infertile. And after like a few years, there would be no more mosquitoes in Africa. Which is, like, crazy, but at the same time, it'll save, like, I think they said, like, 500,000 people a year die from malaria or something in Africa.
Oh, yeah, no. The rise in, this is, I get a real easy win on this one.
Okay.
Malaria didn't exist in Africa for a long fucking time. Then all these fucking nut job environmentalists said that you can't use DDT, which was harmless to people. And, oh, it's going to hurt some fucking eagle eggs or whatever. Turns out that was all made up. They fucking just lied about that. And in the meantime, everybody in Africa is dying of fucking malaria. Malaria. You fucking motherfuckers. Millions of people are dead because you made up shit about some eagle's eggs. Guess what? We should get rid of every fucking eagle on the planet if we could save millions of lives. Are you out of your fucking mind? It's a fucking bird. I like birds and all, but fuck them. Jeez Louise. Now we have to genetically modify fucking mosquitoes? Like, first of all, that's going to bite us in the ass, too. Because I watched Jurassic Park, and I know life will find a way. And I take those words to heart in my life. But more than that, setting aside the whole malaria thing and saving lives, which would be great, somebody gets rid of all the mosquitoes on the planet, that could be a legendary human being. That's way better than starting Microsoft. If every fucking mosquito is gone, they don't serve any purpose. Like, I've never heard anybody with any defense of mosquitoes. I don't think they're valuable to the ecosystem or anything like that. Everybody in the world would be better off if we got rid of those annoying little motherfuckers. Then we can start with bees after that.
I think bees are important, though, right? Don't they pollinate
they're not.
Shit?
Nope. No. We'll get rid of all the bees, and we'll get trees that pollinate each other. We're going to have trees that are fucking.
Okay.
Fucking apple tree.
Okay, I'm not an expert. Honey is good. I like honey.
Nah, it's not worth it.
Mosquitoes, I agree. They don't serve a purpose, but like honey mustard, it's pretty good.
No, I don't care. Fuck it. It's not worth it. Bees are an inherently evil creature, and I think that as God-fearing people, we have a moral obligation to rid the earth of the obvious evils. There's going to be a lot of shades of gray in this world, but when something isn't a shade of gray, when you see a clear black and white, when you see a woman getting raped, you must act. We have a known evil. We have to act.
Do you remember what happened 8 years ago this week?
April 2010. No, I won't remember really. No.
I'll give you a hint. It happened in Nashville, Tennessee. It was not a TNA show.
Nashville, Tennessee. It's home to many a great legend, many a great story. A lot of brawls and saloons down there. A lot of evil history too. A lot of slaves being sold down there. A lot of bad ghost memories in Nashville. But I do believe that was the site back in 2010 when in the UFC. Yeah.
No, this was a Strikeforce show, actually. And it's most remembered for the brawl after Jake Shields defeated Dan Anderson.
This is another Diaz brawl?
During Jake Shields' post-fight interview, Jason Miller gained access to the cage and interrupted Shields, asking,
right.
Where's my rematch, buddy? After both Gilbert Melendez and Shields pushed Miller away, Nick Diaz then threw the initial punch to start the full-scale brawl. Members of the Caesar Gracie Jiu-Jitsu camp, including Melendez, Nick, and Nate Diaz, attacked Miller while Miller was restrained on the canvas by members of Diaz's camp. The fight was then broken up by referees, members of Dan Henderson's corner, and members of security.
I mean, how do the Diaz brothers have licenses to fight? They've had multiple drug
scandals. They usually don't. Most of the time they don't.
I mean, they've been responsible for more than one riot. Like, what the fuck? You don't get more than one riot on your record in this world. Like, you get one riot, and if you do, like, a second riot, people go, I don't think that's just the first one looks a little more clear now. You weren't just wrong time, wrong place there. Nobody's wrong time, wrong place at two riots. That's impossible. And yet they still let them fight.
Yeah. The thing I remember about that show, in addition to the brawl, was how good Jake Shields looked against Dan Henderson. Like, he, like, took Dan Henderson down at will and, like, did whatever he wanted to him on the ground. Like, he had back, he mounted him. It was just, I want to say raining down punches, but trying to punch Henderson. And it was just like, what the hell? And this was a fight at middleweight. It was Henderson's first fight in Strikeforce. And Shields just wrecked him.
Yeah, that was right before Shields came to the UFC. I think it would be that October he came to the UFC and fought, I think it was Damian Maia, which in hindsight you go, geez, that was his first fight, and he kind of looked lackluster, but still beat him. And then he jabbed George St. Pierre a lot and almost beat George St. Pierre with a jab. Weird fucking dude. Now he's like a vegan that uses steroids, so I don't know.
Yeah, Shields will go down, I think, is underrated. Like, he always gets dissed for, like his stand-up. Like, people say it sucks. But it's not like he ever gets, like, knocked out. You know what I mean? Like, he never gets, like, destroyed on the feet. Like, he looks shitty. Like, his punches look bad, and his kicks look like they're loose pro wrestling kicks. But at the same time, it's like he manages to win most of his fights and beats really good guys like Damian Maia and Dan Henderson.
Yeah, no, Shields is a great example of a guy that he trains well, and he's honest with himself. He knows who he is, and he plays to his strengths, and he makes you fight on his terms. Still, though, he's a cage fighter, and no joke, people like middle-aged housewives at jazzercise classes look more natural throwing punches. It's really embarrassing. Like, he fought on Bully Beatdown, and he couldn't knock out the bully.
Right.
Like, he fought an untrained person and couldn't hurt him.
Right.
Are you fucking kidding me? He's terrible.
I agree, but he's got 42 fights and only one TKO loss. You know what I mean?
It's weird. I know. It doesn't make sense either.
I'm saying he looks like shit, but somehow it works. I don't know what it is. It is bizarre. Like, he's got wins over Tyron Woodley, Damian Maia, Akiyama, Martin Campman, Dan Henderson, Jason Miller, Robbie Lawler, Paul Daly, Carlos Condit, Yushin Okami. You know, it's like
he's got wins over like half the current UFC welterweight division.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. I think he's underrated. I think he's got those takedowns, and most guys can't stop him. And my other favorite moment of his is that Husamar Paul Harris fight where he was getting like eye gouged over and over again. Do you remember that? WSOF.
Yeah, and then and Paul Harris had something else. Like I've got clips of it. I don't know why, but
like I think he bit him maybe or something.
It was blatant, and then Paul Harris tapped him with an ankle lock or something.
Kimura. Yeah, Kimura.
No, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, he yanked it extra hard.
That's right, like after he tapped, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think Shields, like, kicked him in the face after or something.
Yeah, that's right. How did that not turn into a riot?
I don't know. The Diaz boys must not have been cage side for that one. Also, this was a three-fight main card. The show was on CBS, by the way, did 2.9 million viewers. In the semi-main event, we had Gilbert Melendez defeating Shinya Aoki by unanimous decision, 50-45. I remember Aoki, like, scooting on his butt a lot and, like, backing up on his ass so he wouldn't have to strike with Melendez. And then in the opener, we had King Mo defeating Gegard Mousasi to win the light heavyweight title. So they had three title fights on this show. And one change chance with King Mo beating Mousasi, 49-45 on all cards.
And now the company doesn't exist. So what does that tell you?
Brawls at the end of your show are not good for business?
Life's a bitch and then you die.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that. Also tonight is the debut of the Ultimate Fighter Undefeated. It's probably
tonight.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
What? You
wow.
haven't heard about this? This is the
wow.
Ultimate Fighter 27. Kind of.
I did see something recently. Like I saw something about this.
Yes.
And I had the same reaction. I'm like, oh, that happened. But I totally forgot that it happened here.
Yeah, this season is starring Dana White and head coach Stipe Miocic and head coach Daniel Cormier. They're going to be fighting, I think, in July, if memory serves me. So this is supposed to help build the fight. Both fighters have said they're there not for the spotlight, though, and want to highlight the fighters. Every fighter on this show is undefeated. There's two divisions, featherweight and lightweight. And I'm hearing very little buzz about this show.
You're telling me that Daniel Cormier and Stipe Miocic with a bunch of guys who are also dumb and boring enough. There's been no controversy coming. Like, Stipe and Cormier didn't get into it. Really?
I don't know. It sounds like they didn't, but you never know. Maybe they're saving something. Usually before the season starts, they like to show all the crazy stuff. I haven't seen a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, it almost makes you think that Daniel Cormier is the worst fucking personality on television.
Was it him?
Stipe should understand that there's a reason why he didn't get any fucking promotions, and that Modelo Especial commercials are terrible, and nobody believes that he's really a champion of people that drink Modelo Especial.
Was it Cormier and Cruz who were doing color this past show? Like, weren't they arguing?
Yeah, yep.
I remember them arguing about Condit and one of them, whether he was out or not. And they were just talking over, I think it was Anik, just talking over him the whole time. And it was, like, I did not like that tandem at all, because it was just like they were talking over each other, they were arguing, and they were both aggravating, I felt like.
And vocally, they have a relatively similar sounding voices, which doesn't really work for color commentary teams. Cormier is still this stupid. And it's sad because he obviously knows a lot about how to fight, but instead it seems like he goes out of his way to just speak in pre-programmed safe cliches. He never gives you real insight. He doesn't take a chance on anything. Something happens, and he's always like, oh yeah, that there it is. Like, Cruz will be definitive about something, and if he's wrong, he's wrong. But he'll say, like, this is what this is, that's what that is. Cormier is like, it's just so broad and boring, and now I just turned this show on, and it's the same fucking show since it was the first season of Ultimate Fighter. God damn, this is boring.
Yeah, it's tough.
At least in porn, they dress up in different costumes.
I mean, back in the day when, you know, Ultimate Fighter first started in, like, 05, seeing fights every week was unique. Now you've got 6 hours of UFC every week. Every other week there's Bellator. It's like watching average guys fight in a cage with no commentary. It's like, it's not unique. It's not different. Why would someone watch that? Why would you watch non-UFC guys fight with less production, no commentary? I don't, from a logic standpoint, I just don't understand what the thinking is and what would make a viewer want to see that in 2018. 05, it was different, but it's like it's so dated now. And I know they're getting paid for it, and apparently it makes some money, I guess, based on the advertising, but I'm thinking with this next TV deal, they got to do away with TUF. They have to.
I mean,
unless it's super cheap to produce or something, I don't know.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's about as cheap as it gets. But beyond that, why is Velasquez? Oh, there's Cain Velasquez on my TV. He looks fat. I guess it's just something to be looked at as, again, if you think of it like they're running a sport, the NFL has dumb shit shows like this on Showtime or whatever. And if you just think of it as one part of the sport as opposed to like a pro wrestling entry into the promotion, then I think it's a little more palatable, because it's just like it's a different way to consume fighting. Mm-hmm. If you look at fighting as secondary, or you want to figure out somebody like, why would I watch these guys fight every week as opposed to somebody else? Oh, not that I do watch it because it's boring, but I could see the appeal a little bit as far as at least it's a story. Get to hear from people and you know who they are. Whereas if you're a casual fan, you don't know who any of these guys are on TV on any given card. At least these guys get to see them talk a little bit. Show still sucks, though.
Yeah, I don't anticipate watching very much of it at all, unless something unusual happens that's worth checking out. This Saturday night, April 21st, we've got UFC Fight Night, Barboza versus Lee. This is UFC Fight Night number 128, you guys. It's going to be held at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey. In the main event, we've got Edson Barboza versus Kevin Lee. In a fight of, you know, two top 10 10 lightweights, both coming off losses. Lee lost to Ferguson, and Barboza got beat up by Khabib. Yeah.
Anytime, you know, I'll say this. Edson Barboza is pretty damn close to, like, must-watch fight, just because he's one of the few guys that when you watch it, you know somebody's going to get hurt. Like, I almost feel like, man, you're going to fight Edson Barboza? Dude, you're going to get kicked hard. Yes. Like, this shit's going to be rough for Kevin Lee. Even if he wins, like, man, that's a real fight. You got to really, I think it's like in Atlantic City, and feels like that's cooler. I don't know. It's a good fight. We'll see. Again, Lee hasn't really been tested to me. Like, he's good. He's got a lot of wins and all that. But he kind of slid into the title picture under everyone's noses, especially at 155 pounds, where it seems like there's 37 other people that are way, should be way higher up than he is.
Who do you like? Lee or Barboza here?
I want to say Barboza, but that could also just be laziness on my part, because I'm not appreciating what Lee might be, because Lee is, you know, he's like 24 or something. That's the thing with him. He's young enough to get better. He is well-rounded. But man alive, Barboza just hits hard, and I think it's going to be too much for Lee, and he gets knocked out.
Wow, okay. I wonder if Lee's going to be able to wrestle him, get him up against the cage, and take him down. Like, I could see Lee just out-wrestling him, but we shall see. In the co-main event, we've got Frankie Edgar versus Cub Swanson. Edgar's coming off that brutal knockout loss to, what's his face there? The steroid guy, Brian Ortega, by knockout uppercut. And that was only on March 3rd, which was less than 6 weeks ago. So it's a real quick turnaround for Edgar, coming off a fight where he was finished for the first time, knocked out cold, did not look particularly good in that fight, and a real quick turnaround. Obviously, it's because it's in Jersey and Edgar is from the area. But even so, I would have liked to see him get a longer break. This is eerily reminiscent of the Michael Bisping fight he took on short notice against Kelvin Gastelum after his loss to GSP. Hopefully it doesn't go that way for Edgar, but I don't know, man. This is a quick turnaround.
Yeah, it really has that feel of, like, uncomfortably quick for a turnaround where you're sitting going, really? Like, especially given you just got knocked out bad. And
he's older, you know? It's like he's been around older, a long time. Yeah. It's not like he's 24.
It may be nothing, you know? I mean, if he hadn't got knocked out and he just wanted to fight again real quick, I'd be like, hey, it's Frankie Edgar. He's one of those guys that keeps himself in shape and he goes. And you got to respect the guy for getting knocked out, being that close to a title shot. And then, you know, turning right around. Face a guy in Cub Swanson who, I mean, again, Edgar beat him once, so I think he should beat him again. Because Cub just he's just not good enough to fight Frankie Edgar. He's just not that level. The striking isn't good enough to compensate for his other weaknesses, so Frankie should take this thing.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because Cub Swanson's coming off a loss to Ortega, too. So both guys coming off losses to Brian Ortega, which probably speaks highly of Ortega. We've also got Chase Sherman versus Justin Willis, David Branch versus Thiago Santos, Aljamain Sterling versus Brett Johns, and Jim Miller versus Dan Hooker.
You know, they found everybody with a connection in, New Jersey. Yeah, great.
The prelims... kind of slim pickings. We've got Corey Anderson versus Patrick Cummins, the barista. Magomed Bibolatov versus Olga Sasaki. And then on the prelim on Fight Pass, you've got Leslie Smith versus Aspen Ladd. I can't imagine why the UFC puts Leslie Smith on the Fight Pass prelims. Maybe it has.
You think they even know what she's doing?
I bet somebody does. Yeah.
Maybe. Like, anybody that matters. Like, really? They give a fuck that she's going running around on Twitter saying, hey, join my union.
I don't know. I think, let me look. That's the only women's fight on the card. Usually you would have a women's fight on the main show. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sucks to have beliefs.
Leslie Smith is the one whose ear exploded, right? That's the one thing I remember about her. Yeah. As far as fighting goes. She also has a unanimous decision win over Rin Nakai.
Ah, think about that, though. Ear exploded, kind of like a call it the progressive fighter, kind of leading the charge for the people backstage. Is it Leslie Smith, or is it Mick Foley?
They do have a lot in common. I never thought about that until just now. Anything MMA otherwise? There wasn't a ton of big news this week, I don't feel like.
No, it's been, well, been almost too quiet. But we are still in the wake of Hurricane 223 there.
Yes, that gave us plenty to sink our teeth into. As far as stuff goes, you saw Super Troopers 2, apparently.
Yes, I did.
And I'm going to be totally honest. I like to be transparent here. I've only seen like the first 10 minutes of Super Troopers, but for some reason I've seen it like 5 or 6 times. I'm not sure why or how that happens, but I know somebody gets pulled over and the cops are kind of dumb, but that's about all my knowledge of Super Troopers.
Oh, no, that sounds like you've got the plot. That's just the movie, you know.
Okay.
It's just a stoner movie. It's just dumb comedy.
It sounds like you're a big fan. You're a fan.
Oh, it's a cult classic. Yeah, the first one's just a, you know, it's one of those things where you can watch it and it's very quotable and it's got like enough. When I say like I don't want to overstate it. We're not reinventing the wheel, but it's a similar vein to like Billy Madison and shit like that.
Okay. And so, but this has been a long time. Like the movie came out, what, like 15 years ago or something?
Yeah, I think it came, 15, almost 20 years ago or something. Then they crowdfunded it and.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah, and that's why I went. Actually, Tony bought one of their packages to help crowdfund the thing, and we got to go to the Chicago premiere.
Oh, nice. And then what'd you think of the movie?
That was good. It was very good. I mean,
yeah.
Again, if you know what you're getting, you know, it's, I don't want to badmouth it at all, but it's one of those things where I understand if somebody watched it and went, this is stupid. Like, yeah, I know it is. It's supposed to be dumb. We're all dumb.
No, I'm into that genre as much as anybody else. Will there be a Super Troopers 3?
I have no idea. The world's changing. Okay. So, maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Interesting. What else? In other entertainment news, I have some good news. Glow on Netflix is returning on June 29th, the second season. I know you were a fan.
Can't wait. I was a big fan, not just because of the greatest tits in the world being shown, but it's a good show. So, yay for... Netflix is weird like that. Like, you don't even know they're filming. It's just like, and guess what? We have 13 episodes of television for you to watch in 1 month. Like, fuck! That was quick.
Yeah, it's always funny, too, because, like, if you want to, you can watch the whole season in, like, 2 days. You know, as soon as
and
it comes out. It's,
yeah.
But it's so different than, you know, your traditional TV series that are drawn out over, you know, weeks. Like, I can't tell you, like, back in the day with, like, Breaking Bad, I would be so pumped up, like, every, I think it was Sunday, was it Sunday nights? Yeah, Sunday nights, I'd be like, oh, Breaking Bad's on, and then, like, the season ended, and you're like, ah, shit, you gotta wait till next year to find out what's gonna happen with Walter White. But then you get into the habit of watching again. But with Netflix, it's weird. It's like, you can bang out a show as quick as you want, and I don't know which is better as a viewer. But, yeah, I will definitely be checking out season 2 of Glow. Did you hear that Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize?
I did, yes.
The first person
to win a Pulitzer Prize that was not jazz or classical music.
Well, you actually read up on this.
I saw the thing on Twitter or something.
Because you've got the gimmick of not knowing who Kendrick Lamar is.
I mean, not really a gimmick. Like, I still couldn't pick him out of a lineup. I'm just aware of the name now, but...
But I at the time, when I initially started making fun of you for this, I don't want to say I predicted this, but I said he's pretty talented. He's not like a lot of other rappers. He's, you know, got like some politics and a message and whatever. And now look at him. He's winning Pulitzers.
Yeah, no, he's got that, like, the intellectual black, like, rap cred. Like, there's only, like, one, like the, he's like, no, like, he's the woke black activist. Yeah, man, it's not just bitches and hoes with him. When he says hoes, he's referencing the way that the white man systemically kept the black woman down, and he's repowering him with the usage. And you're like, I thought he just was saying hoes because it's easy to rhyme with things, but I don't know, maybe he is. Okay, you got a Pulitzer. This is really stupid. Like, you already have, like, we have awards. It'd be like giving somebody an Oscar for the best book. Like, what? Like, you have an award. If you're the best artist and best musician, you get a Grammy. That's what the music people get Grammys. The video people get Oscars. The writing people get Pulitzers, and pretty much just Pulitzers. Like, you can't just start giving out things for shit that you have nothing to do with. You're the Pulitzer. You're not just, like, the everything. Why don't you just, like, what else could they do? Like, they give you Pulitzer for, like, hotel reviews, and I'm smelling eggs all of a sudden. I don't know why. That's not good.
Like hard-boiled? Like kind of egg?
Yeah! Kind of like mayonnaise-y. Like, mayonnaise hard-boiled. Like, that's weird. Oh, I might be having a stroke.
I don't think that's one of the I don't think that's one of the symptoms. Egg salad scent.
It's a symptom. It's a salad of brain tumor. Smelling weird things is one of the classic symptoms of a brain tumor.
But maybe you're really smelling it. Maybe your mom's doing some weird shit upstairs.
Look, I'm not saying that I have a brain tumor. I'm just saying we should prepare for the chance that I do.
What should I do to prepare?
I don't know. You're going to have to mentally prepare yourself for a world without me. Like, I know this is difficult for people.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. I was thinking about eggs. Egg salad's nasty, Lamar. By the way. That seems like some
I don't know why.
Be eaten.
Ew, no. I only started eating eggs a couple years ago, and I still only eat eggs if they're scrambled eggs. That's the only way I eat eggs.
Like, you wouldn't eat, like, an egg sandwich, like a fried egg sandwich? Bacon, cheese?
No, it sounds disgusting.
You've never had a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich in your life?
No, I have, but when you say, like, an egg sandwich, like, it has to be framed in my brain like a sausage, egg, and cheese, something like that. When I hear, like, egg sandwich, I just picture, like, a lot of runny eggs in between two pieces of bread, and, like, there's, like, some sort of, like, white, like, cottage cheese thing keeping it together or something. It just seems like it's got all the smells that I don't like.
Yeah. Egg salad is nasty. Like, hard-boiled eggs, like, mixed with mayo. Like, the melt.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of.
That.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That's nasty. That I don't like. But eggs are not, like, a poached egg, like, Eggs Benedict or something, that's all right.
I don't know what that means. I have no idea what poached egg is or Eggs Benedict. No clue. Like, when you say poached egg, I'm not joking. I think egg on a stick.
No, that would be poached. Poached egg.
I know. Poached,
egg would just shatter and break. Poached is like you have, like, it's not quite boiling, but almost boiling water, and you crack the egg over the water, and you cook it that way. It's poached in water. And then the egg would usually go on top of, like, you know, like an English muffin and some Canadian bacon or ham or something. Then it's got hollandaise sauce over the top of it. It's like a brunch thing. It's like a classic brunch item.
I hate
you.
Brunch.
Probably don't. You hate brunch.
I don't like breakfast food.
You got a lot.
In my world, eggs are like are dinner food now. But, like, it's not that I hate breakfast food. It's just I don't like getting full in the morning. I feel sluggish. I hate pancakes, and I don't like fruit and stuff, so, like, a lot of breakfast is kind of boring for me.
You have a lot of issues.
I have a refined palate.
Totally. I think we should do a segment on a show where I name like a food item and you got to like try and define it. I was thinking about that today, actually. I think that could be...
That'll be a disaster.
I think it would be humorous.
You're just making fun of me now.
In other music news, I know you're a big fan of Cardi B, yes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She has recently set a record for most simultaneous Billboard U.S. Hot 100 entries by a woman. She has 13 songs on the Billboard Top 100 at this very moment.
So the previous record was 12, I presume?
Correct, held by Beyonce.
And before that was like 11, it was probably Whitney Houston or something like that. I don't know. Maybe there's just not that many women that do music. Like, she's got all the records for top female musicians. Like, yeah, like Ronda Rousey, she's got all the records for women fighters. Yeah, there's just not any of them. Isn't she a stripper? Like a real hood rat stripper?
I don't know if she was a stripper. I think you're thinking of some other chick. She was with the Kardashian.
I know Cardi B doesn't like paying taxes. She's pissed about her taxes.
She is apparently...
Did you hear that clip?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's fucking hilarious. Where she just goes off on paying 40%. I don't know what these N-words are doing with all my money. See, look at me censoring myself. I don't know what all these N-words are doing with all my money. I know they sure as hell ain't doing nothing in prison. They only get two pairs of drawers in prison. Why are you paying my taxes? I demand a receipt for my taxes. I should get a receipt. And then she starts doing, like, her clucking thing or whatever the fuck it is. She's a weird one.
She is odd. She had a really good interview with Jimmy Fallon once where she had, like, all these weird, like, ticks and noises she was making answering his questions. It's pretty hilarious. But, yeah, she's apparently popular. I can't figure out who the man is who has the most.
Elvis.
Elvis, you think? Okay.
I don't know. I have I don't know. I feel like we don't, like, historically there's way more... like, mainstream solo female singers. Like, we don't, like, listen to lots of men singing. Like, it's kind of fruity.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's
Barry
funny.
Barry Manilow and things like that.
Yeah, but, like, all the rock groups are all guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's...
Like,
it's
all the
it's,
biggest...
Because when a man is doing art on his own, he's exposing himself, it's kind of weak. But you got a bunch of dudes, it's like, nah, we're sharing our feelings, but we're still badasses. That's why they're always drinking and violent and angry, too. You know, like, yeah. There's got to be a little anger in your voice if you're a dude singing. Like, if a dude only sings about, like, I just feel so happy and I love the Lord, you'd be like, what the fuck?
I don't know.
I guess. Same motherfucker.
I guess there's some, like I was trying to think, like, when you think
Josh
like pop
stars.
No, but when you think pop stars, you think, like, Madonna and Britney Spears and Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston. Like, you think those women, but then I was thinking, well, I guess there was Michael Jackson, obviously, was as big as any of them.
But he came from a group, originally.
That's true.
And he was also
Bieber.
Yeah,
Bieber's pretty big.
But look at the way that we look at any of the solo men, for the most part. They almost all appeal to women.
True. That's true.
And George Michael, Bieber. They're all sorts of girly men. Like, yeah. There's not like a lot of like solo male singers all on your own that like 14-year-old boys like, man, he gets me.
Yeah. Yeah,
he
you're right.
He speaks to me on a level. He speaks to me like very few have.
But again, like, it's interesting too that all the big rock groups ever were fronted by men and was almost all men bands. Like, the only one that like had a woman in it was like Smashing Pumpkins, that chick Darcy or whatever. But there's not even a lot of, like, guitar players or drummers or bassists that are women in any
of
the groups.
Which is bullshit, because a female vocalist fronting a rock band is the best sound in the world. It's a great balance between the heavy metal rock, the beauty of a woman. I love it.
I wonder who's the biggest one ever? Like, Paramore or something? I don't even know.
No.
I've never really thought about it. With a chick?
Joan Baez? Like, there's, like, some of that stuff, like the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, I was thinking more like a rock group, somebody.
Janis Joplin.
Cranberries. I don't know.
Cranberries pretty damn big. That chick was that chick was had a haunting voice. Damn, she was.
Oh,
great.
What was that other? Garbage. Garbage was another one.
Yeah,
that
Garbage, good one. Yeah.
And there's probably I'm just out of the touch and don't know what's popular now, but I can't really think of any like current rock groups, but. Seems to be a dying,
any of them are.
Dying breed, yeah. Anyway, I thought we should at least play a clip of Cardi B's top song on the Billboard Top 100 right now. This is number 8. It's called I Like It, and I just want you to hear a tidbit of this. That is the number 8 song in America right now by Cardi B, featuring Bad Bunny and J Balvin.
She's a lyrical genius, you can say that. Her wordplay is outstanding, man. The way that she just lists things she likes. I guess in a BuzzFeed world, the top song should be a listicle.
That's right. You should have to start the slideshow to listen to all her songs.
You have to click on 5 different songs to get the entire song.
We would be remiss to not mention the passing of Bruno Sammartino, not to be confused with Bruno Mars or Bruno from the Borat program. He was 82 years old. Obviously, he was before my time and your time as far as wrestling fandom goes. But he was a WWF champion and a WWF champion for years. Like, he had a 6-year run and I think like an 8-year run on top, selling out MSG out like dozens of times. Big name from the territorial days. Figure we should mention it just because it's in the news. I don't have a whole lot to add. I only saw some like clips of him wrestling ever, I think, but pretty legendary dude.
You just nailed it. Like, that was perfect. Because that's basically everything you said was the nice way of the evil, vile rants in my head all day. Because, like, I see all these people talking about, oh, Bruno's dead and this legend. And, like, I have nothing against Bruno Sammartino. But just like you, I don't know shit about him. I'm 35 years old, and born in 83. I think Bruno is more or less done by that point. Right. And so it's like, it'd be like, you know, when Willie Mays dies. It'd be like, oh, no, yeah, that sucks. Like, I can understand that he was a big thing, but it wasn't big for me. And all these wrestling fans being like, oh, this is so sad. I'm like, really? You'd have to be in your mid to late 50s to have had really any chance probably of actually, like, enjoying him in the way that, like, you and I know Steve Austin or The Rock or something like that. We're like, you know, when Steve Austin dies, I'll be like, oh, son of a bitch, you remember him. That sucks.
Yeah.
No, this is an old dude that none of you people ever saw, and if you did watch, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that type of boring stuff. Like, his gimmick, he really is everything that the modern wrestling fan hates. His gimmick was in his ethnic origin, with his ethnicity, and he was just billed as a big, strong guy. He wasn't agile or anything, just, I'm a big Italian guy, and I'm going to beat up the other guy who insults Italy. Hi-ya! And that's what he does.
It worked. You know, it worked for a long, long time. The thing I always hear about him is there were numerous times, like, he wanted to retire. He wanted to give up the belt, and they kept him coming back. And they, like, put the belt on, like, Pedro Morales or something, and he wouldn't draw as well, so they'd have to bring Bruno back. And he would always come back and make good money. But everything I've heard about him is he was always a good guy. He went back to WWE after, like, having no contact with Vince or anybody for the Hall of Fame a couple years ago, which was a big deal because he was on the outs with them. He didn't like the way they promoted, the angles. He really hated the Attitude Era, like the most successful time in wrestling, but whatever. But other than that, like, actually seeing his matches, I didn't see much. Like, I can remember some of the Zbyszko stuff where, like, his neck got broken or something. But it wasn't like I lived through it. I watched YouTube videos of it 10 years ago or something. But
and
it was a big story.
Like, it's really weird, but he, like, there's a clear separation basically from him and then the Hogan and Flair shit shows up, basically. You know, like, after he was the last guy that was that kind of hero wrestler or whatever, and, like, after that, it was all, like, for the, not like a direct thing, but for the most part, like, era-wise, you could be like, there was Bruno through the 70s, and then there's Hogan in the 80s when everybody's just like, I am on steroids, and I'm on cocaine, and let's just fire this motherfucker up.
I mean, there was Backlund in between, who I think was closer to Bruno than he was to Hogan. So there was a little bit of a bridge there, I guess, with Backlund, but Backlund never drew like Bruno or Hogan.
No, exactly. Like, yeah, he was there or whatever, but I think a lot of, like, the smart wrestling fans, they want to fawn over Bruno because he's like the stereotype of, hey, we could just be this old school wrestler, you know, just a good, honest man who wrestled, and he would look at him, he's just a normal guy. And I'm sure, again, I don't know anything about Bruno, I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, like, I never heard, like, bad things about him. But, like, he doesn't validate the rest of your objectively, morally atrocious industry. Like, you people are fans of the worst thing on the planet. It's just, we took the lowest common denominator of society, the worst of society, and we have guys on steroids out the ass and all kinds of drugs out the ass who are performing to get the loudest applause from the lowest of people in America. It's a really, really trashy form of entertainment. I know some of you want to pretend like there's something more. You got your hipstery thing, and, oh, this guy does these flips, and now we're, like, meta because we do 37 super kicks or whatever. It's like, nah, you're all still just garbage. And the whole world laughs at you, and it's so irrelevant. And Bruno Sammartino doesn't make it more relevant today. What I'm saying is that your dreams and your loves in life are garbage.
Wow. That's a real wake-up call.
Everyone.
Yeah. It's a wake-up call.
Don't waste your time with that Raw shit.
I didn't even watch the Raw after Mania. I'm at that point. I watch WrestleMania, and that's it. Once a year, I'm that guy now. Feels good.
Life is better. Man, watching random, like, specials. Like, here's some NXT thing. Or, like, the only ones in the world I go out of my way to watch unapologetically would be Mania and the Royal Rumble, because I love Royal Rumble. I just love it. And so this greatest ever Royal Rumble thing they're doing because, you know, oil money pays bills just as well as anything there in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I like just watching big dudes in a ring hitting each other. That's all I want.
Starbucks says it will close its 8,000 company-owned stores in the United States for one afternoon to educate employees about racial bias. The announcement follows an uproar over the arrest of two black men who were waiting for a friend at a Philadelphia Starbucks last week. The store manager called the police on them. The racial bias training will be provided on May 29th to about 175,000 workers. I've spent the last few days in Philadelphia with my leadership team, listening to the community, learning what we did wrong, and steps we need to fix it. This sounds crazy to me. And here's why.
A lot of reasons.
Well, number one, it screams like public relations. They're worried about their PR. But do you need to close 8,000 stores and train 175,000 people on something that is probably common sense? And secondly, it's like, why not just talk to the one manager who did this? Apparently the manager's not even with the company anymore, and just move on. Like, they're going to lose millions of dollars doing this, and I guess they think it's worth it, one, for the PR standpoint. Maybe they legit think this will be good and help the company, maybe, but it's like one person screwed up, and now you're going to have trained for 175,000 people. It's a little much.
It's insane.
Right.
Like, that's a, I know that, like, there's PR, but is this what the world is? Like, are they actually coming out on top with the PR? Do the pansies that demand this kind of fealty and public, you know, defenestration, do they actually have so much power that this is the right thing to do to make money? Because if it is, that's terrifying. This is so stupid. Nobody in the world thinks that this is a Starbucks thing. I mean, some dude, some manager called the cops on two black guys or whatever. I don't really know why. It immediately becomes a racial thing. So be it. Say it is racist. It's a weird, to me it's a weird one just because I'm pretty sure this is not the first time those, like, there have ever been black people in that Starbucks. Like, you know, if there had never been black people going to the Starbucks, and then two of them showed up the first time they never showed up, and the manager's like, oh shit, we've got two of them. Just call the cops now. Just get it over with. But no, like, I'm sure they have black people in there all the time. So for me, this isn't like a pure racist thing. I'm sure there's something else going on, and even if, well, I don't know, the whole thing is just so, for fuck's sake, people, nobody in America thinks that Starbucks is racist. I mean, come on, it's Starbucks. There's not even a hint of it. It's a big pansy lefty, you know, Pacific Northwest, oh, we all peace and love, and, like, we do things for, like, Ramadan, and like, our Christmas cups have, like, gay snowmen or whatever. Like, this company isn't racist. If it was NASCAR, I'd be like, eh, fine. Like, I know where you're trying to score your points. I think it's bullshit. I think it'd be wrong. But I get it. Like, to me, that'd be like the pansy liberal getting from, like, the racist conservative. But this is, like, one overly offended white liberal person demanding money from another, like, overly sensitive white liberal person. It's like, none of you people are racist. Just grow up. You guys can't stop and look at each other and go, wait, hold on. Like, nobody's got any tiki torches here. What the hell? You're wearing Birkenstocks. Huh, you really are. What a cliche that was. Yeah, good for you. I know. You drove a Prius over here. You're not a racist if you drive a Prius. You really aren't. Like, you might do something insensitive. Maybe you're not fully woke. But you're not a fucking... No racist drives a Prius. It just doesn't work that way.
The details, I've got some for you. The two men entered the Starbucks on Thursday and asked to use the bathroom. An employee told them it was only for paying customers. When they sat in the store without ordering anything, the manager called the police, and the men were arrested for trespassing. No charges were filed. The company says the manager who called the police is no longer working at the store. Starbucks would not comment on other reports that she has left the company by mutual agreement. That's basically the story.
This is something's lazy about this, because there's obviously more to it. Like, why did she call the cops? Like, again, do we really think that this lady just got spooked and was like, oh shit, they're here. I never seen one of that color. I better call the cops just to be safe. Clearly there was something else there, and the cops arrested the guys. Like, there's so many things would have to happen before the cops would arrest them. I get the cops show up, and like, hey, what's going on here? And the guy's like, hey, we're waiting for our buddy or something like that. Why didn't they just order coffee or something? Like, the whole thing is just weird. And I'm not saying that it didn't happen. There really could be something racist there, but... I just feel like nobody's telling me the whole story. There's got to be more to it.
I could totally see that.
It'd be like if somebody accused you of being a racist. I'd be like, come on. Like, really? Like, if you just didn't serve tacos that day, it's not a racial thing. You just didn't have any taco meat or something.
Right.
Your cafe has a wide selection of tacos now.
Not at the moment. We've done some fish tacos in the past. I'm sure that's really great. Yeah, it's gross to you. But
I play it tight.
I hate food with flavors. moving along here. I think I found a good school for you in Connecticut.
I already found a good school in Connecticut, I'll have you know.
Right, I found a better one. A high school teacher has started a fight club in his classroom. Fuck, I just lost it. I got chab issues. Hang on. Give me a second.
It's a substitute teacher.
Is it? Do you know that for
a
fact?
Yeah, it's a substitute teacher started a fight club in the school. And that's all I really know.
I can tell you more.
All right, go ahead.
I got it now. I'm ready. Ryan Fish, 23, encouraged Montville High School students to battle it out while other students recorded on their cell phones and cheered. God damn it. I keep getting these weird one-quick question surveys. Fish was charged Thursday with 2 counts of risk of injury to a child, 4 counts of reckless endangerment, and 1 count of breach of peace.
Oh, that's a good one.
Fish told investigators, "The truth is, I'm an idiot," and wanted to befriend them.
Eh, it makes sense.
The
you know it wasn't his idea. He was some dickhead kid.
The Montville Police Department started investigating the alleged fight club last December when a social worker reported a 15-year-old student was traumatized after being robbed and beaten by his classmates. Investigators soon learned Fish, who was 22 at the time, had been fired after school officials caught wind of the fight club inside of his math class in October, according to the affidavit.
What the fuck? How does that get started? How does that one get out of hand? Like, how many steps? October? They'd only been in school for like 6 weeks. That's a real short amount of time to get a fight club started in math class.
The school even had cell phone footage that surfaced. In one video, the affidavit states two students openly slap each other with full force as a visibly present Fish gives directions to get away from the door. Another video shows Fish moving a trash can out of the way to prolong the altercation. Fight only ended after one of the students threw up and was holding his head, a participant said.
Holy shit, they're going till concussion. All right.
Fish told police, "I would let them be teenagers and let them get their energy out. I will admit that I did at one point get egg on them." I did egg them on.
Egg them on, yeah.
Yeah. Several students involved in the fights told police the slap boxing fights had timed rounds, which police say indicates an organized event. Additional videos showed the substitute teacher separating two boys with outstretched arms. Then police said Fish moved back while thrusting his hands down, smiling and laughing to commence the fight.
I feel like there's like a good chance that these kids are like 16 or 17, and this has that feeling of... he's like the older brother, and like he knows some of these kids like outside of school. You know, 22-year-old, he ain't that far removed from high school at all. So yeah, it's got that feel to me.
What else do we have here? Fish told police there were 4 fights that occurred in his classroom during school hours between September and October. Some boys from the Connecticut high school described the substitute teacher's math room as a kickback class. "I just tried to be the teacher that kids could come to and actually express themselves and actually work through their issues," Fish told police. "Kind of have a social thing."
It's good to be the teacher that feels like the teacher that can swear in front of the kids. As the kids feel like you can open up, right? The thing is, that's kind of one of those things where you're only allowed to be that teacher if you're ultimately doing good. Like, you can swear a little because you get the kid to open up and you find out what's really going on and you help him deal with the problem. This guy is that laid-back teacher, and he finds out what's going on, he goes, "Want to fight?" Like, no. You're just making their problems even worse. You're not helping them at all.
No, he should not be like a guidance counselor in the future, I don't think.
On the other hand, those kids probably learn more, so I don't know. Probably got it out of their system. You know that the kids have all loved it. Like, you know how like nobody in the story is like probably forced into it.
You would hope not.
That would be kind of cool, though. I like the idea of conscripted fight clubs in high school.
Well, I think it's funnier that like in the classroom over next to it, nobody heard this going on or anything. It happened 4 times before anybody noticed. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, and there's no way in shit you get a room full of teenagers and you have an organized fight between their classmates and they're not all losing their mind yelling. And like, they only have like one fight per class. They have multiple fights. They said they organized four individual fights. Did they build them up and like, did they know in advance? Like, did these kids literally sit next to each other in math class every day for weeks on end, aware they're going to have to slap each other until somebody goes down from a concussion?
This is awesome. If they had to do, like, pre-fight promos and stuff.
They're up to your isosceles triangles suck. A squared plus B squared equals my foot up your ass.
God. That teacher's going to have a hard time finding work. Let's see. Oh, I forgot about this one. This is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Firefighters at Wayne Township Station 82 opened their door early Friday to a one-of-a-kind request for help. A frantic woman distressed because her pet raccoon was stoned off of too much weed. The raccoon had been exposed to too much of someone else's marijuana, and its owners were worried it was overdosing.
Someone else's, not ours, not our marijuana. It was the neighbor kid. Yeah.
Not knowing what to do, they brought it to Station 82. Firefighter Pruitt says the raccoon was very lethargic. She started explaining what had happened. There wasn't really much we could do. It was just the sort of thing that was going to take time.
Are they sure that she actually had a pet raccoon and not that she smoked so much weed that she thought she had a pet raccoon, but she really just kidnapped a raccoon from outside and got it stoned?
I'm not sure. Ultimately,
who has a pet raccoon? That's a dangerous animal.
It's the whole
fucker.
The whole situation's odd, yes. Raccoons are not pleasant. Ultimately, the raccoon's owners took the animal home to sleep off its high. The fire department said, "We hope that everything worked out with the raccoon. We'd be sad to hear that it did not."
I don't even know if a crime had been committed there. Like, is it animal abuse? It's not really a pet. Like, I don't know if there's a crime for getting a wild animal high. That seems kind of like one of those things that somebody looks at it and they're like, well, it's not against the law. It's kind of like, you know, having sex with a horse. Somebody's like, it's not against the law. You're like, yeah, because nobody ever thought this would happen. But it turns out we need to write it down because the Miller brothers moved into town or something like that. And next thing you know, some asshole's fucking a horse while his brother's petting his pet raccoon. They're all smoking the reefer.
You know, I've never come across this site before. It's called the IndieChannel.com. That's where I was reading the raccoon story. And, of course, there's links at the bottom, and I started clicking. Employee finds body of small adult inside tote in the back of a U-Haul van at Indianapolis facility. Kind of caught my eye.
Indianapolis has got some problems going on, doesn't it?
The Indianapolis Police Department officers were called to 4,000 block of Southeast Street just before 1:30 p.m. after someone found the body inside a vehicle at the U-Haul property. A spokesperson with the police department said the body was found in a tote bag in the back of a van. The cause of death has not been released. Police initially thought the body was an infant, but later determined that it was an adult's body found inside the tote. The person has been identified as 26-year-old Alyssa Sander of Indianapolis. Jeff Lockridge.
Is it a small person, or is it a midget?
I think
are they just afraid to use the word midget?
I think you say little person now.
But that's why they should be just say midget, because you can just be a little person, and that's not a midget. So I want to know, is this like a freak in a duffel bag? Also, I'm going to guess that foul play is involved if the dead body of the midget is in a duffel bag. Tote bag, I should say. I don't think that's how midgets normally die.
Maybe she couldn't unzip it. There wasn't, like, enough air.
Her little nubby fingers, yeah.
U-Haul issued a statement. We are deeply startled and heartbroken over the discovery today at one of our Indianapolis store locations. U-Haul is working with the local authorities to meet any and all needs in their investigation. Police are asking anyone who may have information about the incident to contact the IMPD Homicide Office or Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana.
I mean, at least they could just use the kids from the previous story and just get the four winners of the fight, and they could be the pallbearers. Wouldn't take much to lift a midget. What's a dead midget body got to weigh? 60, 70 pounds?
I don't know. It depends how big they are, I guess.
I think it's like, what, 3.5 feet of fury?
Don't
you
feel
there.
Better knowing it's like a midget and not like a little kid, though?
Yeah, I do, actually. I feel mean, a lot better, because I feel like every midget has a tragic ending. All of them. They just, you know, they're going to die because of their height or something like that. So, a midget dying in a duffel bag kind of makes sense to me. Like, I kind of get, like, midgets are always in weird situations in my world. And so, finding one in a duffel bag totally makes sense. Like, a little kid, like, no, like, a little kid would be murdered and put in a duffel bag. I can see, like, the midget doing a lot of drugs to fit in with the boys and getting put in a duffel bag as a goof and then dying in there.
Hmm. Yeah. Sounds like a good night
midgets,
out.
Midgets are always into goofs. They like pulling practical jokes on people. Big pranksters.
In Manchester, New Hampshire, a woman applying for a job at a New Hampshire county jail has been arrested because it turns out she was wanted on a charge in Maine. Police say Christina Hoffs of Manchester applied for the job on Friday at the Hillsborough County Department of Corrections, but workers soon realized she was being sought on a theft-related offense in Maine. Hoffs was taken into custody and taken to police headquarters. She was scheduled for arraignment Monday. It's unknown if Hoffs has a lawyer. No phone number for her can be found.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that she doesn't have a lawyer. Just guessing on that one.
Like, I understand, like, how do you accidentally turn yourself into the police? You apply for a job at the police station, and they do a background check on you, and so you have a warrant out for your arrest. Like, what the
hell?
Yeah,
I gotta say, that feels like it's a bit of a red flag as far as her instincts as a cop would be concerned, that she doesn't understand that you look at other states to see if they have warrants out for someone to arrest. Like, you know, if she pulls someone over, she sounds like the kind of cop that would just be like, hey, do you have any warrants out for your arrest? No, officer. Hey, I'm going to trust you. You got one of those faces.
Yeah, it just seems misguided. Do you think she got the job, though?
What state was this? Maine?
She was in trouble in Maine, and I think she was applying in New Hampshire.
Well, if it was Maine, I feel like Maine's kind of one of those places where anything goes, so I could see it.
Ooh.
Like, I can see Maine as a lawless state.
Yeah, Maine's really far north. It is a little weird.
Yeah, like,
Maine's
it's
weird.
One of those, like, any of, like, it's like the Dakota, like, my cousin always says about South Dakota, she's like, this is South Dakota, you could do anything here. You can drink, drive, and hunt all at the same time. I'm like, yeah, it's South Dakota. I feel like Maine's got that spirit where, like, everybody up there, like, nobody's in Maine on accident. You have to actively choose to live in Maine, and so everybody's in it together, and everybody's just kind of like, look, we're all up here because we're running from something. So nobody says anything. Just nobody hurts anybody. We'll vote for the high taxes every once in a while, but nobody's going to really pay it, and then we just move on with our lives.
And
plus,
lastly,
they have all the lighthouses.
They have a large number of lighthouses. Maine's weird because, obviously, they've got the coast, but it's always, like, really cold and the beaches are really rocky. So, I mean, some people go up there on vacation, but not a ton. And then, like, most of it's all just, like, woods. There's some mountains, but there's not, like, a lot of skiing in Maine. Most of the skiing's in New Hampshire and Vermont. Like, it's a weird state. It's just a ton of woods. Like, it's basically Canada.
It looks awesome. I like that there's, like, a beach without... You don't have to go in the water. I like looking at the water. I don't want to go in it. So I want an excuse not to have to go in it. Ah, it's too rocky. Plus, there's Kennebunkport. And I don't really know what that is other than I know it's in Maine.
George Bush would vacation there.
I thought it was like a rich person place, but.
Well, yeah, I think the Bush family has a few dollars to spend on vacations.
You got a little bit more money to spend on vacations now.
Because Barbara passed?
One less mouth to feed, yeah. Some of that inheritance is getting spread out.
Yeah, she seemed to go downhill quickly after it came out the president was grabbing everyone's ass.
She died of heartbreak.
What did he call himself? Oh, David Copperfield. That's clever. What a genius. So lastly,
he molested kids. Yeah.
This is a story in the New York Post, and this just broke today. Big news. Missing submarine rumored to have brought Nazis to South America has been discovered. A missing German submarine said to have taken the defeated
Nazis. Tim Kennedy did it.
I wanted to use that joke. Have taken the defeated Nazi leadership to South America, has been discovered after being lost at sea for nearly 73 years. The U-3523 was one of Hitler's Type 21 submarines, a new and highly advanced design which came too late to stop an Allied victory. It was the first class of U-boats designed to sail submerged for a prolonged period of time and had a range which allowed it to sail nonstop to South America. The U-3523 was thought to have been sunk by a British B-24 Liberator attack on May 6, 1945, but the inability to locate the wreck fueled rumors that it had escaped. Now the wreck has been located 10 nautical miles north of Skagen, Denmark's northernmost town, and 9 miles west of the position reported by the British bomber.
All right, well, I guess
that, to me,
dead
that's just
now, so, yeah.
Like I like history, and to me that's just like kind of interesting. Like there's a lot of stories like that where they're like Amelia Earhart or whatever. It's like, what the hell happened? Nobody really knows. Did this thing go down? Is there a whole bunch of Nazis running around in Chile still right now? Because even, like, we joke about Tim Kennedy, but that hunting Hitler thing, like, people think a lot of Nazis fled to Argentina and Chile, as they like to say it. And, you know, just the fact that they found the sub, you know, 70-something years later, it's cool.
You know, I'll say this for these Nazi monsters. If they did escape to South America, they clearly learned their lesson. Like, they didn't try to start up any shit down there. They just all lived real quiet. Nobody ever heard from them again. So I'm not saying it's good that they escaped justice or anything like that, but at least they didn't try to start any shit over again. They clearly never tried another genocide. Give them one, they get a little credit for learning from their mistakes.
What should we look forward to on halfguarded.com in the coming days?
I have no idea. Just more of the same, only twice as good.
Sounds great. That's all I got this week.
That's all I got, too.
Okay. Thank you for listening. Halfguarded.com. This is MMA and stuff. iTunes, Google Play. Thank you for listening. My name is Matt. That is Mike. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Get up, cocksuckers, it's all over. Listen, we had a rough couple of months. Fucking Katrina's cousin Maria, the other one, Puerto Rico, Houston, fucking Florida. Listen, it's been tough up to now. The earthquake in Mexico, you know, the White House, whoever the fuck is going on. But it don't matter. They want to shoot, it's time for us to fucking shoot, cocksuckers. They want to get down and dirty. Don't forget who the fuck we are. You understand me? We're the baddest motherfuckers out there. You send a message to that fucking North Korean, he's going to be sniffing my dick and sucking my asshole. That's the focus. We're going to North Korea in like a year. It's going to be an island. It's going to glow in the dark. You know why? Because we're Americans, cocksuckers. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Stop with the gun control. They're selling more guns than ever the last 3 days. Stop with the fucking whining. Stop with the Russians on Facebook. I don't give a fuck. Worry about yourself. Keep your eyes open and get the fuck off Snapchat and fucking Twitter, cocksucker. Stay black.